yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You had better. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going on a Buck Off Thursday. Buck Ons as well. B&E with you. Show of the people. Off we go. 4 hours of fun conversation and, yes, Buck Ons and Buck Offs. You decide each and every Thursday here on the Show of the People who has earned a pat on the back, who has also deserves a kick in the hindquarters, according to you. Specs text line will be active today, as usual. 512-337-3776 is how you hit us there. Also on our social media, hit us on our Twitter page. Who needs a buck off? Who needs a buck on? You decide. Brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company each and every week. And we'll start the Buck Off Thursday proceedings by saying buck off to the humidity, the oppressive humidity in Austin, Texas. At least the rain has stopped, but buck on to the buck. He is not here today. Bucky is making final preparations, taking the morning off to get ready for the Mullet Open tomorrow, the 20th edition of his tremendous golf tournament that helps so many coming tomorrow, the 21st year. Of course, we had to skip last year because of the pandemic, but it's back and bigger and better than ever this year. We'll be out there live tomorrow at the Wolf Dancer Golf Course, Hyatt Lost Pines Resort, halfway between Austin and Bastrop. So he'll be getting things geared up there. So I'm here. Isaiah Collier is here. We have a tremendous guest lineup this morning, which we're excited about, including in this hour. We'll talk to our good buddy Ari Temkin from the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. A couple days into the mandatory minicamp up in at the Star Complex in Frisco. We'll get Ari's thoughts on Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, a lot of buy-in, it seems like, from the Cowboys. We'll talk to Ari about that with Mike McCarthy headed into year number two. Also, other top stories out there. Longhorns gearing up for the Super Regional round of the NCAA baseball tournament. An hour from now, we'll talk to our good buddy Ty Harrington, the former Longhorn great and longtime Texas State head baseball coach. We'll talk some hardball with Coach Harrington. A lot of fun in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, folks. We're going to talk to head coach David Pierce, of course, of the Longhorns, our weekly visit with the skipper, which is always enlightening. Also, Isaiah Collier, I don't know if you know this, there's a new movie coming out, new film coming out that debuts tomorrow night around the Lone Star State, and then next week it'll debut in theaters all over the country called 12 Mighty Orphans. That's right, 12 Mighty Orphans. It's a story of a football story, Zay. During the Great Depression, a coach named Rusty Russell gave up a privileged, but it's a true story, based on a true story, obviously, gave up a privileged position to coach football at an orphanage in Fort Worth, Texas. And then he whipped his players into shape. They soon became an inspiration to the city and the state and the nation, it says here in the bio. But a cool movie. It's directed by Ty Roberts, who lives here in town. And it's got a star-studded cast. Luke Wilson, Robert Duvall, the great Robert Duvall, Martin Sheen. And also, it's the acting debut of former Longhorn Brecken Hager, who is a character in this movie. And we're going to talk to Brecken Hager in the 8 o'clock hour, talk about his role and his foray into acting, so that should be fun as well. But I always like a good sports movie, Isaiah Collier.
Oh, yeah, me too, especially if it's in the, what, Texas?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's going to be a classic.
Yeah, sounds like it. And gosh, Robert Duvall, Martin Sheen, Luke Wilson, I'm in. Brecken Hager? Remember, Brecken was always kind of a wild dude while he played at Texas. So we'll talk to Brecken. We'll talk to David Pierce. Talk to Ari Temkin, Ty Harrington, other guests as well, and your Buck-Ons and Buck-Offs. So it's going to be a fun Thursday, and I'm excited for you tomorrow, Isaiah, to experience your first Mullet Open. Mullet Open.
Oh, yeah. We're taking, you know, the fiance down there.
She
wants to float the river.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be hot as hell, like you said earlier, with the humidity. So
the lazy river is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect when it's hot like this outside.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
It is cool. We started that 21 years ago. Bucky had the first Mullet Open. And people say, well, what is mullet? It's not the hairdo. It's not the hairdo. Longtime listeners of the show understand it's mullet. All is a golf term, according to Bucky, that I think it was John McAvick or somebody he used to play golf with used to call, you know, when before they would tee off, we're going to take money from the mullets. Money from the mullets. Like, you're the mullet, right? What is mullet in fishing terms, right? It's what's going to catch the fish. It's going to be the bait kind of thing. You're the bait today. We're going to take all your money. So it is a golf term, affectionate golf term of fun, not the hairdo, the Mullet Open, but, you know, go either way as far as that goes. But it started 21 years ago at Circle C at the time. It's now called Grey Rock, and it was a wild scene. That was back. That was the only first and only year, Zay, we did a morning and afternoon shotgun. We tried to play two, essentially, Bucky put on two golf tournaments, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. With two completely different tee times and flights and full tee sheet. I mean, it was crazy. Bucky always tells a story that after round one, Bucky thought he had enough beer, but he thought he had brought in enough Bud Lights. It was about this time. Bucky always does it in June. We have enough Bud Light for both flights. And by the end of the first flight, which teed off at like 8 in the morning, because you have to, if you're going to do Tuesday, you got to get off by 8, be done by 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you got to turn the carts around and all the logistics are going to that. Got all that done, but by the end of the first flight, all the beer was gone that Brown Distributing had donated, Bud Light and Brown Distributing. I mean, the morning crew just drank them under the table. Bucky sends me with a credit card to the Randalls there on
Brody. Did you on that beer run?
I had to do the beer run. So I'm there like loading up cases of Bud Light skis and some other assorted cold beverages. Then we had to get them on ice. I mean, it was a mess. And so that was the first and only time we did that, because you can guess that it became quite a blank show by the afternoon, because there were some guys that actually played both rounds. They actually signed up to play in both morning and afternoon. Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. Those guys were feeling great in the afternoon.
Call a cab. This is before Uber. Pre-Uber, of course, back in the day. But here we are 21 years later, still on the air, still doing the show, and Bucky's still doing great work with the golf tournament that benefits the Refuge Ranch and the Burke Center for Youth, and donates so much money, and Bucky donates so much of his time serving that tournament. It is a labor of love for sure, and it'll come off tomorrow, so we'll be excited about that. And really, Zay, also really excited to get out and see the people. It's been a year. We've done some live remotes, and we did the NFL draft coverage back in April, but it always is a good time to get out and do the show and see and shake hands and say hi to the folks that are playing, who listen to this show and support this show, and that's always a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's been such a long time coming, and I'm very grateful just to see people's faces and to shake hands with folks. I still have my hand sanitizer on deck, but
I got it right here, Zay. Got it right here. Plenty of anti-bac, you know what I'm saying?
Always. It's a necessity nowadays.
It is.
I will definitely be mingling and shaking hands with the folks. And yeah, you see me, come up to me. Don't be afraid to say hello.
Yeah, and I don't believe I've met your fiance there, Zay. I don't know if that has happened.
Yeah.
Excited to meet her. So that's good. And the nuptials are coming up, right? I mean, you guys are doing like a little a private ceremony, and then you're going to have a big party in January to celebrate?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We're getting everything settled right now. Actually, she's getting everything settled right now. I'm just sitting in the background checking boxes.
Hey, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Do your job. That's how we like to roll here on the Show of the People. It's a Buck-Off Thursday, so fire up those buck-ons and buck-offs. It's another thing we've done for a long time here on this show. Who needs that pat on the back? Who has earned a kick in the rear? That's how we do it on a Thursday. Let's start with the headlines, trending topics, things you need to know as you are up and out on this Thursday morning. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news, and news starts with the NBA. Just one NBA playoff game last night, and it was not a very good game. One-sided from the jump as Phoenix routs Denver 123-98 to take a 2-0 lead in that series. How about Chris Paul led a balanced attack with 17 points, 15 assists, 0 turnovers on the night for CP3, and a masterful performance getting everybody involved. Also yesterday, Utah center Rudy Gobert named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year, third time in the past 4 seasons. College baseball, congrats to Longhorn freshman second baseman Mitchell Daly. He was named to collegiate baseball's freshman All-American team yesterday. He was the first team All-Big 12 infielder as well. Started 52 of the Longhorn's 60 games this season. Hit .323, 14 doubles, 2 home runs, on base percentage of .413, plus he's a high-caliber glove man at second base. Daly and the Longhorns, of course, hosting South Florida this weekend in the NCAA Austin Regional with a trip to Omaha on the line. Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Sunday night, 8 o'clock. And if necessary, they'll play Monday afternoon or evening. Elsewhere in college baseball, big news down in Houston. Rice Owls have tabbed Jose Cruz Jr. to be their new head baseball coach. He was a 3-time All-American and member of that 2003 College World Series championship team at Rice under Wayne Graham. David Pierce, of course, the top assistant on that staff. Cruz Jr. was in his first season as an assistant hitting coach with the Detroit Tigers. He has never been a head coach at any level. There were multiple reports that Texas pitching coach Sean Allen was a strong candidate for that job, but it goes to Cruz Jr. Major League Baseball last night, 2-for-2 for the Astros at Fenway Park. They bombed the Bo Sox 8-3 last night. Houston beats Boston. Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman homered. That helped right-hander Jake Odorizzi pick up his first win as an Astro. Houston has won 3 straight. They'll look to sweep that series this afternoon. Yesterday in Arlington, Rangers scored a run in the 11th to beat the Giants 4-3. That's just their second win in their last 14 games. And at the College Softball World Series final last night, top-ranked Oklahoma beat Florida State, the equalizer, 6-2. That forces a decisive Game 3 tonight in Oklahoma City for the championship.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Texter says, never underestimate demolits. That's true. You learn a lot in your first event. And we'll never underestimate. We'll never do a double shotgun again, and we'll never do and underestimate the mullet's ability to consume large amounts of Bud Light. That is quite impressive. But it'll be on display tomorrow for sure. This says Isaiah, please sport the neck roll.
I can't do it.
Come on, man.
I can't do it.
My so we neck. Know how to spot you. You won't miss Zay. Zay is about a 6'4". Brother,
yeah, dark skinned brother, you won't brother. Miss me at all.
No. You'll find Zay.
CeCe will be out there too, so you might mistake me for him.
That's pretty cool too. And I've played golf with your father, who's been the Celester Collier has been at the Bowie High School coaching basketball for how long now? 3 decades plus.
Yeah, going on 30 this year.
That's awesome. And he was the head coach at Texas State before he got to Bowie, right? Back when it was Southwest Texas State, where he played college basketball and then became the head coach at a young age. And now, and of course, we'll get a text here in a moment that says, hey, Coach Collier taught me driver's ed when I was at Bowie High School, because that was also a role of Coach CeCe.
Still don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
He taught you to drive, of course.
He did.
And basketball, and being, you know, he's your father. And he's a good golfer, too, by the way. I know he lives out there on Plum Creek Golf Course in Kyle, Texas, and so he'll be out there. Is he playing? Is your dad playing?
Oh, yeah, he's playing.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, excited about that. So that's tomorrow, Mullet Open live at Wolf Dancer, 6 to 10. Bucky will be back with us. Bucky out this morning. Final preparations, because it's a lot to get done, and so he'll be back with us tomorrow morning as we get this thing rolling. As we said, in 1 hour, we're going to talk to Ty Harrington. Always like talking ball with my good buddy Ty Harrington. 20 years as the skipper there at Texas State. Longhorn. We went to Omaha a couple times as a Longhorn back in the day in the 80s. So we'll talk about this Longhorn Super Regional. Obviously, the Longhorns a favorable draw. And, you know, we talked to Coach David Pierce coming up in the at 8:30. Excited to talk about Mitchell Daly. And he's told us, Mitchell Daly, a freshman All-American yesterday, you know, it's amazing, Zay, and you know how opportunities go in sports and athletics. But David Pierce is pretty candid, saying that, you know, Mitchell Daly, he thought, was a candidate for redshirt. I mean, because this is the COVID year, your rosters are so bloated. The seniors that could have graduated didn't. I mean, guys that could have been drafted into the amateur draft last year didn't get drafted, so they're on your roster. I mean, the Longhorns have so many players. And Mitchell Daly, a true freshman out of the state of Alabama, coach has told us he's a military kid, so he bounced around middle school into high school, but played high school ball in Alabama. And, you know, Texas recruited him, of course. But Coach Pierce thought, you know what, this guy is probably going to be a redshirt candidate. And what do you know, they were kind of trying to sort out that lineup early in the season and put him in. And he always says it was that a game down at Texas State that Mitchell Daly got a start at second base. And he made about 5 or 6 great plays at second base. He had 3 or 4 hits on the night and, you know, just showed, you know, that he needs to be in the lineup every day, and he hadn't come out of the lineup. He started, went on to start 52 of the 60 games for the Longhorns, and now he's a freshman All-American. Pretty cool stuff, and that's, you know, you got to seize your opportunity when you get it.
Yeah, for sure, and kudos to Coach Pierce for taking the risk on the freshman and understanding that it doesn't matter how long you've been on campus, if you can contribute, then you need to be on the field, unlike some coaches that have been here not playing, you know, their freshmen. So,
we've got a story about that here coming up, you know. Shot across the bow.
Yeah. So, yeah, kudos to Coach Pierce, and, yeah, that's a hell of a job being, what, first-team All-Freshman?
Freshman All-American. Of course, he's first-team All-Big 12, too, and has earned that. He's a staple for the Longhorns in the top of that order as a get-on-base guy, big hits. Steals a bag when you need it to, and just a professional hitter at the amateur level, which is cool. We'll talk to Coach Harrington about that and Coach Pierce. And, you know, it is interesting with the COVID year. That's what's fun about this baseball team. They do seem, and this is where props to Coach Pierce, you know, that's a challenge. You know, you're managing players, you're managing more players than normal. And it was early in the season when Coach talked about, we're going to give everybody opportunity. You know, you're going to get your chance. We're going to, whoever seizes it, and, you know, this was in February and into March. And then I remember the show where in early April, after they played about 6 weeks of baseball, Coach Pierce said, you know what, this is our lineup. This is our group. This is our nine. You know, guys like Ivan Melendez and guys who had earned their spots, Mitchell Daly, Coach Pierce was able to tell them, okay, good guy, competition's over. This is our nine. This is our staff. This is our bullpen. This is where we're going. And so if you do have an 0-for, don't worry if you have a bad night. You'll be back in there the next night, too, to take some pressure off these guys. And that was for the month of April and now into May and now June. And it does feel like this is a team on a mission, Zay, that everybody knows their role. Everybody has, as a team, the one thing you'll always hear about this Texas team is they're the same group each day. They show up and ready to work and practice and day by day, and that pays off. So give Coach Pierce a lot of credit for where this baseball team is. I'll give him a huge buck on. But, your dad is a coach, Zay, and you being around it, if guys show up ready to work each day, put egos aside, playing for something bigger than themselves and understanding that the big picture's out there, this group seems to do that as well as anybody.
Yeah, and it starts with recruiting. Like, you understand that guys got to understand your philosophy and understand how you operate when they come to campus, and once they get here, you got to implement that, and Coach Pierce has done a hell of a job this year, clearly.
Well, it is interesting because it was a tough year. I mean, that's a challenge when you have more players than spots. I mean, college baseball in general is a challenge. You only have 11.7 scholarships to divvy up among your roster, but normally there's the natural flow of seniors moving on and freshmen coming in, and that didn't happen. Then you have a transfer like Mike Antico coming in from St. John's, so you're adding other pieces. I mean, there's a lot of players who are hoping to play, wanting to get on the field. David Pierce, with at least to this point, a masterful job of roster management and putting the best nine and on the lineup card each and every night. For the Longhorns, who have won 45 of their 60 games, the number two seed in the tournament, and they'll play South Florida this weekend. You had the shot across the bow for the previous Texas head football coach, Tom Herman, alluding to Bijan Robinson as a true freshman, maybe not playing enough. I know that's a popular topic. And on that note, I don't know if you heard this, Isaiah Collier, on this Thursday morning, Fox college football analyst Joel Klatt, the former Colorado quarterback, he was on a Fox podcast, college football previewing the season. And in it, he says this. How about this? I think Bijan Robinson I think he's the best back in the country. Says if you really watched him in the second half of last year, he was unstoppable. He said, on TV, I had the K-State game, and I know he played well before that, but that's when I was kind of like, wow. However many times they wanted to give him the ball, he was going to run for 8 to 12 yards a pop in that game. It was similar to the bowl game against my alma mater, Colorado. He says, I think a lot of the early season is going to be finding out ways for Steve Sarkisian to have Bijan Robinson be the best player on the field. You can't hide him anymore. He's no longer a true freshman like he was early last year. He's the best player on the field. Showcase him that way. And Klatt went on to say, if he gets 25 touches per game, they're going to win 10 games. If he can stay healthy and get the ball 25 times a game, he's that good. He's the best player on the field. He's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, we know, Joe.
Joel. You can call him Joe. Joe Klatt. He'd probably go for Joe Klatt.
Yeah.
I like it. But, that's high praise. I mean, I know if Bucky were here, he would argue for Breece Hall at Iowa State to be the best back in the nation, and certainly in the Big 12. Oklahoma's got a stable of running backs, too. But I do think that is one of the challenges for Steve Sarkisian. I know, they just this week got the, as they're going through their summer workouts, they got the transfer commitment from the Alabama transfer running back, Keelan Robinson, who adds another piece. And I know Bucky and I both talked after watching some of the film of him as a freshman at Alabama in 2019, just how electric he is as a 4-3 running back and a guy out of the backfield. He's a home run hitter for sure. And Bijan Robinson is a home run hitter. To Klatt's point, and I think a lot of Texas fans would have liked to have seen more of Bijan Robinson earlier and often, and then more even feed the beast. And so here's Joel Klatt saying, 25 touches a game. 25 touches a game for Bijan. Don't worry about the overwork. Get him the ball, whether it's in the run game or in the pass game, screen game, whatever it's going to be. And I think the way that Klatt put it, I agree with 100%. That is your early task. If you're trying to break in a new quarterback, whoever's going to win the battle, you're installing a new offense, and you're trying to, let's be honest, break in new receivers. I mean, there's not a bona fide, reliable, go-to wide receiver right now on this Texas roster. There's names, right? Jordan Whittington, Joshua Moore, Troy O'Meary's a name you're going to hear, but there's no Colin Johnson, there's no Lil Jordan Humphrey, there's no Devin Duvernay that you can lean on and say, this guy's an experienced receiver at this level. Early on, they really have to figure out ways to get the ball to number five, and as Joel Klatt says, make him the best player on the field, make teams defense him.
Yeah, Joe Klatt, he's a smart guy, even though he got his dome rocked a few times against the Horns during that Big 12 championship. He's still a smart guy that knows what he's talking about. And if you look at how Najee Harris played last year at Alabama with all the talent there, you're Bijan Robinson. You're licking your chops, man.
Yeah, and that's Steve Sarkisian. Look, that was a senior and a senior, and Najee Harris and Devontae Smith, who both came back for their senior seasons when they could have gone pro. But Steve Sarkisian found a way to get those two players over 400 touches last season. 400. That scheme, right? That's saying, you know what, people would be frustrated with Tom Herman. It's like, well, how can you let them take away your best player? How do you keep letting them take away your best guys? Why do you keep taking them off the field? Showcase them. Get them the ball. Make defenses stress out. Quit rotating players. Showcase your best. Well, I mean, Steve Sarkisian in 2 years at Alabama absolutely did that. He had a ton of talent. Let's not put Texas talent up there with Alabama talent just yet, or even close. But he found a way to get his two best players, Najee Harris and Devontae Smith, 400 touches. Every defense that they played was trying to stop them. Every defense that they played was coming up with defenses to try to get the ball out of their hands and prevent it. And that's Steve Sarkisian with scheme and the motions that we saw, making sure those two players touch the ball and touch the ball a lot. Same thing has to happen here early.
Yeah, and it seemed like Tom Herman, he was coaching like he knew the transfer portal was a problem, trying to make guys happy, maybe promising guys, things that you shouldn't promise, because even though they're not, producing on the field, you just want to keep everybody happy. And, obviously at Alabama, they don't care or have those problems. But I think Steve Sarkisian coming down here, he understands the big picture.
Yeah, and that's his the offense is his baby. He and A.J. Milwee, Kyle Flood, the offensive line coach, they've got to find a way. And I do think adding Keelan Robinson's big, too. I mean, because, again, as we've talked about, that's a kid who played nine games as a freshman at Alabama. He knows Steve Sarkisian's system. He can walk in here and be pretty much at full speed, a little of a refresher course, but he'll know the drill and can be an immediate impact player there, potentially, along with Roschon Johnson as a running back. That's the deepest position on the field outside of defensive line for Texas right now is running back and feature Bijan. That's Joel Klatt's thoughts from Fox Sports. Interesting. Best running back in the nation, he says. This one says he's not even the best running back in his own conference, Joel Klatt. Give it up for Breece Hall. That's the kid at Iowa State's pretty slick, by the way, going into his junior season. He's a really good player.
But wouldn't you say he might be a product of the system? A little bit.
I don't think so. I think Breece Hall is a special player. I mean, to lead the Big 12 in rushing as a freshman as he did, he's the nephew of Roger Craig, for crying out loud. He's kin of the great San Francisco 49ers running back. I think his cousin or nephew or something along the lines, and he kind of runs like Roger Craig when I watch him. He's a glider. He is a smooth operator. When you say system, it's Iowa State. You don't just... See, he's leading the conference in rushing at a place like Iowa State, and that's Matt Campbell. He's built a good program there, but it takes players, and I think Breece Hall is an absolute player. But nothing against Bijan. I think he is a beast as well, and coming into his sophomore year. All right, coming back, Ari Temkin's going to jump on with us. Ari, of course, host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network on 105.3 The Fan up in Dallas. A couple days into the mini camp, we'll get Ari's thoughts, eyewitness accounts of what's going on in Big D. Cowboys gearing up for training camp and a season, and Mike McCarthy, big bullseye on him this year after what we watched last year from a coaching perspective and a preparation perspective. What's he seeing early? Obviously, in Dak Prescott's injury situation. We'll talk to Ari, AT, coming back next. Craig Way has a Craig Way report. We've also got your B&E fact of the day on a Buck Off Thursday. B&E, Isaiah Collier with you. It's 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, and we're always streaming live on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. No Bucky today. He is making final preparations for the Mullet Open tomorrow, the annual golf tournament that does so much good and everybody wins a prize and has a great time. Hydrate yourself if you're playing tomorrow out at Wolf Dancer. It's muggy and warm and temperatures in the mid-90s today and tomorrow. So hydrate for the 18 holes we're going to play tomorrow out at Wolf Dancer. Buck will be with me tomorrow morning. We'll be broadcasting live from Wolf Dancer in the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort tomorrow, 6 a.m. bright and early. Isaiah Collier will be there as well, and he's here this morning. Coming up for the top of the hour, Craig Way has his morning report. We've also got your B&E fact of the day. Great guest lineup today, as we said. We'll talk to David Pierce. We'll talk to Ty Harrington. And Brecken Hager is going to join us. Brecken, the former Longhorn, making his acting debut in a movie that premieres tomorrow night in theaters around the state of Texas called 12 Mighty Orphans. So we're excited to talk to Brecken, and he's excited about getting into the acting realm after, you know, a stint in the NFL and after his career at Texas. So a lot to do this morning. Be a lot of fun. Really excited to go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk to a good friend and a host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network, also the Big 12 today on this morning on Sirius XM. He's our friend Ari Temkin. Ari, how are you, bud?
What's up, E? How are you, buddy?
Doing well, doing well. And how are things in the Metroplex, the mighty Metroplex?
So the rain's holding off here a little bit. We've had, as I'm sure you have as well, just an unbelievable amount of rain.
Yes.
In 2021. So I remember, you know, a decade or so ago when I moved to Austin, we were in a severe, severe drought in the state of Texas and obviously throughout the Austin area. And I think we're out of that now, which is good news.
But feels like
so
it.
So much rain.
Feels like it, yeah. And you know, we're finally through it, it looks like, at least here for the next week or so. We're dealing with Houston-like Gulf humidity, and it's just as muggy as it can be. But how are things so far with the Cowboys? I mean, this is a mini camp. What can you learn? Obviously, Mike McCarthy in his press conference says it's important to install and get as much work done, like real work done as we can, so when we get to training camp in July, hit the ground running and you know, have everybody on the same page. What are your important, if there are important things for you to look for here over this week of the mandatory minicamp?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there are certainly things that you can learn and gauge from these 3 days. Today will be the final day of this mandatory minicamp, and you know, hard to believe we're, you know, just less than 8 weeks out from training camp here. But, you know, I mean, I think the big thing is it seems like really for the last 5-6 years at this part of the year, the topic of conversation surrounds a controversy when it comes to contracts of the Cowboys, whether it be Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott, DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, it's just every year there's been issues with contracts and holdouts, and this is a year where there's none of that. There's really no very un-Cowboys-like drama off the field when it comes to contracts. The other thing, too, is, you know, I think it's important that people realize that Dak Prescott, and I just made a YouTube video about this, the fact that he's out there participating in full, you know, capacity here is a pretty good indication of where he is. You know, friends of mine live here, and you know, as am I doing interviews across the country on the Cowboys. Like, the big question is Dak Prescott healthy? Where is he in his rehab? And it's, I think the fact that he's out there participating in 7-on-7, that he's a full go, is a pretty good indication of where he's at. I mean, this is a guy that nobody's going to outwork him. And so he's put in the time throughout this offseason to put himself in position to be able to be a full participant in minicamps and training camp. And, you know, look, some guys, they'll show up at minicamp, and that's when they're going to start rehabbing. And that's when, you know, and they rehab on the side. That's not Dak, and I think that's a pretty good indication of where he is. You know, beyond that, I think, you know, I mean, you could certainly react and overreact to some of the things we're seeing. And it can be sort of a confirmation bias thing. I think a lot of people want to see Micah Parsons and Keanu Neal starting as their base linebackers, and we've seen that a little bit. I don't know what that tells us in terms of what we're going to see in September. But I think it's, you know, again, it might be a confirmation bias thing, but it's certainly a good sign. But, you know, I mean, I also think there's ways we can overreact to certain things, performances, et cetera, in minicamp as well. Like you said, it's about install. It's another year of continuity. And I think looking at certain guys and how they're rehabbing or coming back from injury, those are the big things you can take from a minicamp in June.
Absolutely. And pick up on that, because obviously there's important aspects to this offseason. And to me, there's a sense, Ari, of kind of embarrassment with the organization, you know, including Mike McCarthy, of the way they performed last year. Even with all the injuries, they just looked unprepared in a lot of games. They quit in some games. I don't know. I feel like when you hear about the offseason participation, and as you said, none of the, you know, offseason contract squabbles and things that are happening, very little controversy. But, you know, Zeke Elliott, like, completely all in with all of these OTAs, when around the league, other, you know, veterans are trying to get out of these things. It does feel like there's the sense we need to make amends for last year. That was not what we want to be. They were terrible on defense. Zeke was a fumbler. Do you get that sense that maybe there's a, you know, we need to make up for what was just a really bad season?
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think, you know, there were pretty enlarged expectations last season, and they obviously fell completely flat. And, you know, this is still a really good football team, but the issues that they had, certainly injuries played a role, but, I mean, they went beyond injuries. I mean, this was, as embarrassing of a defense as you could possibly have, and the worst scoring defense in the history of the Cowboys. But not only that, it wasn't just defense. So much of that fed off of the offense and turnover issues that they had. You know, I mean, it's realistic to point out that this is a bad defense with a turnover problem, which is just a devastating, devastating combination for a football team. So it went hand in hand. It wasn't just injuries. I mean, even before Dak got hurt, he was turning the ball over at a higher rate than you want to see. And yeah, I think part of that could have been that their offense is trying to make up for what they knew their defense didn't have. And yeah, I mean, I think so much of this falls squarely on Mike McCarthy. I mean, the BetOnline.ag released odds that had Mike McCarthy as the highest odds to be the first coach fired, which is crazy to me when you consider that, like, the Bears probably should have fired Matt Nagy. If they don't get up to a good start, he'll probably get fired. Like John Gruden, like, there are a lot of other coaches where it seems like they should be in much worse situation, considering this is just year two for Mike McCarthy, and year one was obviously mired in a pandemic. But he did make some mistakes. I don't want to completely diminish his role in the outcome of the season last year. I mean, hiring Mike Nolan was his decision. You know, the idea to implement this 3-4-4-3 hybrid defense without the personnel to do so was partly his decision. So, yeah, I mean, look, there's legitimate criticisms for McCarthy, but the fact that he still has the highest odds in the NFL to be the first coach fired is just, it's crazy to me. So, yeah, I mean, what this defense does, how good this team is, I mean, I don't think it's unrealistic to think that even in year two that McCarthy could lose his job if this team isn't the division champs in the NFC East, considering they're favorites and should be.
Yeah, with Dak Prescott back healthy, as you just talked about, he looks great and is on pace. Offensive line should be back and healthy. That's a big hope. Cross your fingers, Tyron Smith, Lael Collins, and the like. And then address the defense, Ari, because 8 of the 11 draft picks were defense. You mentioned Micah Parsons, Keanu Neal coming in from Atlanta, and obviously the biggest name, Dan Quinn, is in, and Mike Nolan, of course, thank goodness, is out as the defensive coordinator. There's talk of Richard Sherman, a former Legion of Boom disciple for Dan Quinn, being signed for some veteran leadership in the secondary. It's very young back there. What's your diagnosis of what needs to happen on that side of the ball?
Yeah, and just to extend your point real quickly on the offensive line, I think that's the biggest question mark of this team going into the season.
Agreed.
I mean, obviously defense is, but this is a team that's going to win and win big on offense, and it starts obviously up front. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's the most intriguing part of this entire team is what does the offensive line look like and how effective can it be? But defensively, so Richard Sherman is a guy I'd love to see the Cowboys sign. He's perfect. You know, going back to his days with Legion of Boom and Dan Quinn in Seattle, great leadership for a secondary that sorely needs it. But, I mean, there's just no chance. I mean,
no.
If there's anything that this organization has showed as far as Stephen Jones running the personnel department, it would be that they are not willing to invest in 30-plus-year-olds in any capacity. I don't agree with it. I think he would be a perfect fit and a great leader, but I just, unless his price comes dramatically down, I don't see why it would, you know, given that he's still unsigned and there, you know, I imagine that he's got a number and he's not even going to play if he doesn't hit that number, but maybe I'm wrong and maybe it does come down enough where the Cowboys will sign him, but they just show no willingness to sign, you know, aging veterans, even if those veterans are, you know, cheaper than market value or even close to market value. And even if those veterans can help them. So, I'd love to see it happen. It's not going to happen. If their history is any indication, it should. Again, it should. Their secondary is very inexperienced.
Oh gosh.
I mean, you know, it's crazy. Now, I do think they're going to rely heavily on their linebackers and coverage, and that's partly what I really like about this Keanu Neal and Micah Parsons pairing. Is now, obviously, Keanu Neal's history is safety, and so you know you get that as a versatile linebacker, and Micah Parsons has that versatility too. That's partly why he was drafted where he was drafted, is his versatility, you know, in coverage, but then to get downhill and be physical at the point of attack. They're also working him in some at defensive end, which I think is very interesting, because they really like his speed rushing off the edge is sort of a situational pass rusher. We've seen that in minicamp as well. So I do think they're going to stress their linebackers in coverage a lot more. I do wonder what that does to their pass rush and if they can get home with their front four. But you know, I'm without a doubt, this defense has improved, and I would say fairly dramatically from a personnel department standpoint. And that, I mean, that just speaks to the lack of personnel they had last season. They signed a guy in the middle of that defensive line, Brent Urban, who is underutilized in Chicago.
Yeah, like him,
the guy that I think is going to be a really, really good interior defensive lineman for them, especially against the run. They really seem to shore up that part of it there, which is an obvious move to make. They were so bad up front in terms of stopping the run. It was really embarrassing. That was like the biggest embarrassment of the entire defense, was how badly teams ran the ball down their throats. You know, when you talk about third and fourth string running backs just going after them time and time again in games. So I think they really did a good job in trying to shore that up. And a guy like Brent Urban, I think, will do that. So they've got good competition. I think they've simplified things on defense with Dan Quinn. I think there's definitely a buy-in there that maybe wasn't there last year at this point. And I think they've done that a lot with a lot of young players and unproven guys like Brent Urban. So, without a doubt, this will be a better defense. It just comes down to how much better. You know, they were statistically the worst defense in the history of the Cowboys from a points given up standpoint. You know, I've said this time and time again. I said it last year. You know, their offense should be good enough for them to win a Super Bowl. I firmly believe that. It should be. It's the defense that needs to be at least average for them to be in position to do that. I hope this defense is now average.
Well said. And as Bucky would say, if you were here, it has to be better because it can't be worse, possibly. I mean, as bad as it was last year, it has to be better. So, but how much markedly better will it be with the new personnel, a new defensive coordinator? And, boy, his fans are already clamoring on the text line, Richard Sherman. But as you say, Ari, not going to happen. Ari Temkin is our guest, and we appreciate him this morning. He's got a busy day. Appreciate getting ahead of it for him, talking some Cowboys. He is a host on the Cowboys Radio Network. You hear him Sundays and throughout the week here on the Horn, 105.3 The Fan. Also, Big 12 this morning on Sirius XM. Ari, thanks so much, bud. Good to hear you.
Be well, E. Take care, buddy.
All right, Ari Temkin, always there for us. His show starts at 7 o'clock this morning, but stick with us because we've got Ty Harrington. We got great stuff coming. Buck Off Thursday, but that's a Sirius XM show that he hosts. That's why we always have Ari early, because if we don't get him before 7, we don't get him. We've got to get him early. So we appreciate AT. We'll come back. When we do, we've got your B&E Fact of the Day. As I mentioned, Ty Harrington will join us to preview Super Regional Weekend, including right here in Austin. We'll reset those top stories and a lot going on. It's B&E with you on a Buck Off Thursday. First, Craig Way.
I got a woman.
It's well, Bucky and Aaron.
That's good to me. Oh, yeah.
Thursday on the Horn, Buck Ons and Buck Offs, and yes, it was a sad day. 17 years ago this day, the passing of the legendary Ray Charles died of liver failure, and 17 years ago on this day, June the 10th, and that Isaiah Carter, that day stands out to me because today is also my daughter's birthday, my youngest. She's 19 today, if you can believe that. So it was funny, we were having a second birthday party for her. At the house, and heard of the Ray Charles passing, and a good friend of mine who was coming to the birthday party, who's still a great friend, wouldn't come in the party. He said he was sitting out in his car listening. There was another radio station in town doing a tribute to Ray Charles and playing his music, and he came in 45 minutes into the party, and it's probably a smart move for a second birthday party, you know, two-year-old birthday party. But so that was this day, June the 10th, 17 years ago. Ray Charles passed away, one of the greats of all time. And I've always said, you know, as much as I love live music, we've had the show question before, if you could see any performance, it's one of my favorite places to see a show, and we're lucky it's here downtown at the Moody Theater, the Austin, the ACL Live at the Moody Theater, next to the W Hotel, right on top of the Willie statue. I love seeing shows there, and I've always said, if I could see one show there of any person, dead or alive, it would be Ray Charles.
Wow.
One all-time show, because just an ultimate, consummate entertainer. I mean, everybody would have their, people would say Elvis, people would say the Beatles, people would say, I think Ray Charles, for me, would be hard to beat. Hard to beat if he would do like a full two-hour, three-hour set of, God, what he did over the generations. He was making great music, but that was 17 years ago. And yes, happy birthday to my lovely daughter, Meredith, who is quite a young lady, 19 today, Zay. 19.
All your kids are named after former sports greats, right?
That's not necessarily true.
Okay.
No, my oldest son is named Griffin. No, not Archie Griffin, as everybody always, but maybe it was you're just throwing out names.
Yeah.
And then you got to come to an agreement on names. I liked Griffin. Everybody knows that listen to this show, my father's a huge Ohio State fan. So the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner is a guy named Archie Griffin. My middle son is named Nolan. I'm a huge Nolan Ryan fan. Wife liked the names, eh? Wife loved the names.
Smoothie, very smooth.
And yes, but no, Meredith would be the one that there's no Don Meredith connection there. My wife picked that name. That's an important name to her and her family, so Meredith is 19 today.
I'm with that. I mean, I named my dog after Champ Bailey, so I'm all about that.
Champ Bailey. Yeah, well, Nolan for sure. I mean, that helped, you know, it's pretty cool. He's met Nolan Ryan on multiple occasions, and pretty awesome. This is James Brown in his prime for me. Well, that's a good one. I like that. I mean, everybody's going to have theirs. I think for me, Ray Charles would be hard to beat. But yeah, that's one of those unanswerable questions, and everybody will have their own opinion. Do you have one, Zay?
Ooh, probably Biggie Smalls and Diddy together. Ooh,
dang, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And you know, another good one would be someone like Prince.
Yeah.
You know, in that book, when he was in his prime, would be good. You know, what was the year when Prince did the South by Southwest show where he played over at what was formerly known as La Zona Rosa? Yeah, he played a show that started at like midnight, and then he played till like 4 or 5 in the morning. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Just for, you know, South by Southwest folks. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That would be an unbelievable show, too. Waylon Jennings mentioned. I like that on the Specs Declan. Appreciate the suggestions. Waylon would be awesome. I think of all the outlaw country, or any country guy, Waylon would be pretty high for me on that list. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, ACL Live at the Moody Theater is where they do ACL TV now, right? Tape the TV show that goes worldwide and globally on PBS, 47 years. We get to talk to Tom Gimbel each week. And Tom broke the news to us a couple weeks ago that, or I think it was last week, that, you know, the old Studio 6A, where they started the show, did it the first, 36 or 37 years they recorded the show there. Willie Nelson recorded the pilot. And that's right there on UT campus, eh? That's right in the communications building on UT campus. It's a very small stage, and only 300 people get in. Well, the folks at ACL TV and PBS, they're moving out of that location. You know, they filmed the TV show now at the Moody Theater downtown, but they still office or had office at the communications building. Well, they're moving. They're going to up by Highland Mall and the new Highland Mall project for their offices. So they're closing down the offices, and coming up this summer, Garth Brooks is coming to play two shows, intimate shows, at the old Studio 6A to close it down.
Oh, Garth Brooks, he rocks shows.
Yeah, he's coming to play two shows. You know, the tickets are going to go to the donors of PBS, and they're going to sell them. It's all a fundraiser for Austin PBS and KLRU and that. But that's pretty awesome that Garth Brooks is coming to do that, to close it down. Of course, Willie Nelson opened it. And for the final, they'll turn the lights out for good on that location with Garth Brooks this summer, which is pretty cool. All right, we'll be back. When we do, we will reset your headlines. We will also talk to Ty Harrington, college baseball conversation, preview the Super Regional weekend with the 20-year Texas State coach and former Longhorn. Zay, do we have time for the B&E Fact of the Day? Hit it. Okay, we'll do the B&E Fact of the Day on the other side. Ran out of time. Clock management issue, my fault. We will hit that just before the headlines. Get your brain percolating on a Thursday morning. We'll take your buck-ons and buck-offs as well. Ty Harrington joins us. David Pierce at 8:30. It's a busy buck-off Thursday. Live, local, and digital. Streaming on your Horn app and on your smart speaker, and always at hornfm.com.